Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
You're listening to Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. I'm Rachel Kelly. Now, during the pandemic, the tourism industry has been hit hard due to travel restrictions. Yet, one destination seemed to be booming, and that is the space tourism sector. It skyrocketed with companies such as Virgin Galactic, Blue Origin, and SpaceX launching commercial flights into space for billionaires, which could afford the astronomical prices. But with economical, safety and environmental concerns still hanging over the industry, what is the future of space tourism and when might it take off in the mainstream market? We're going to find out from Japnit Singh, who is the Deputy CEO of Aspire Research and Consulting. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Hi, Rachel. How are you?
Good. Good to have you with us as well. And I'm looking forward to this journey that you're going to take us on into space. Let's take a look at what happened in 2021. I think at least 15 civilians took a trip to space. I wasn't one of them, sadly. But what perhaps you can tell us are the different options available to space tourists at the moment?
You could divide up the options that are available into suborbital. So that's when you won't really orbit the Earth, but you get to cross over the Kármán line, which is the official boundary where space begins. And that's going to cost you something like anywhere between $125,000 to about $500,000.
Oof.
You could, if you're adventurous, go orbital. So that's it's typically 3 days or 2 days trip, and it's an orbit around the Earth. Well, that the ticket price on that, and that's the one that's the Blue Origin, the Jeff Bezos company trip, that's the ticket on that is about $28 million. And if you're really, really feeling adventurous, you could go extra orbital, which is outside. And that hasn't happened yet. We're hoping to see some of that in 2022, 2023, which goes all the way to the moon.
I see. So whether it's $500,000, $28 million, or extra orbital, which I'm sure has extra orbital prices as well. How do you then expect this trend to continue in 2022? You mentioned perhaps going to the moon. I mean, is that something that we could really see happen when it comes to space tourism anytime in the near future?
The plans are already there. And as an experiment, I think it's very much possible. In 2022, I think we will see more of these shorter trips, these flagship trips, if I can call them that, you know, which go just beyond the Kármán line. For the industry really to take off, and no pun intended there, what we really need to see is a development in space infrastructure. So things like orbital hotels, space stations, and that I think is something that hopefully will come online in 2022 as well.
Rewind, did you just say orbital hotels so we could see a Four Seasons or a Hilton in space? What are we talking about here?
Yes. So maybe not that scale, but we're talking about six-man hotels or three-man hotels, which would basically orbit the Earth that you could go and stay at.
That's fascinating. And so what kind of timeline are we looking at for that?
The orbital hotels have been announced. I think some of the work is going to start in 2022. This is a guess, but I would give it at least 5 to 10 years before that happens.
And what's then needed for prices to come down to make this more accessible? Because the prices that you've mentioned are out of reach to many.
Well, that is an excellent question. And I'm afraid I don't have very good news there. You know, the way that I see it, for there to be enough scale and for the costs to come down, a lot of other factors come into play. So once the utility of space travel goes beyond bragging rights and beyond, you know, newsworthiness, that's when more and more people would want to go. Just setting the cost aside, it does take a heavy toll on the body. And there is a lot of training that's required for these civilians to travel. So it's got to be worthwhile for somebody to actually make that effort. And once enough people, you know, want to do that, and once there's enough things to do up there in space, that's when we'll see scale, and that's when we'll see prices fall. So not in the near future, I'm afraid.
We're speaking with Japnit Singh, Deputy CEO at Spire Research and Consulting, and you mentioned the preparation there. And in September last year, we saw SpaceX pull off the feat of sending a spacecraft into actual orbit without any government-trained astronauts on board. So what kind of preparations does a space tourist actually have to do before they can get on one of these rockets and head into space?
I still believe that there is at the minimum of a 10 to 15 day program for these civilians. And that A would require rigorous physical training. And I think a lot of plans and plan Bs and plan Cs on if something goes wrong, the civilians need to be able to react very quickly and in a very procedural way. So at the minimum, there would still be that sort of training that's required.
Jabni, on Prime Time here on Money FM, we like to look at issues that impact the environment. And I'm curious, because how much should we really be pushing for this, considering the vast environmental cost? I mean, one rocket launch alone produces up to 300 tons of carbon dioxide into the upper atmosphere, where it can remain for years. How might the space tourism industry start to, you know, reduce those numbers and become more environmentally conscious? Could we see sustainable space travel? Is that something that the industry is looking at as well?
These organizations, Blue Origin for one, I know, also Virgin Galactic, they are rather conscious. They're aware of the impact that this is happening. But you have to put it in context. So right now, where the space tourism industry is, compared to the airlines industry. So the airlines industry emits 40,000 times the amount of greenhouse gases as does the space tourism industry. So even if it doubles or triples, having said that, the impact is significant, and I don't want to dismiss that. But if you look at it as, well, that's what a joyride is going to impact, then yes, it is a waste. But if you start looking at space tourism as a means for us to access space, eventually be able to tap into the resources that are out there, or be able to export some of our polluting activities here on Earth to space, then this is, it's like a stepping stone which justifies some of that pollution to some extent. But research is on the way, and, you know, maybe we'll see some of this impact drop.
What do you mean, though? Could you be more specific when you're talking about how this might benefit what we're actually doing here on our planet?
In the long term, I think we're really taking baby steps. So we're at the very, very beginning of what the eventual plan is. And what we're talking about in the long term is really being able to mine different planets for resources, for example, or use the space, say, on the moon or just in outer space to be able to do things like energy generation, which on Earth is, you know, it's an intensive emitting activity. But if we're able to do that and then bring back the batteries, that just makes Earth a more safe and cleaner environment for the rest of us to live on.
I see. So as you mentioned, stepping stones, baby steps at the moment, one small step for space tourism, one giant step for where the industry could be heading. What is your outlook for how much this tourism industry could be worth, say, in 10 years' time or a little bit sooner, in 2030?
It depends on who you ask. I think there are a lot of estimates out there. Mm-hmm. Numbers range from between a $3 billion industry to a $10 billion industry. No, as industries go, that's not very big. What I'm more excited about is some of the indirect impacts. So the technology that's being used for rockets, that translated to the airlines industry, could mean $100 additional revenue. You know, so the indirect impacts might be much larger, at least in the 2030 timeframe. And beyond the numbers, I think what's going to be more exciting, and this is really the key question when it comes to space tourism, is we've now established that the private sector can send people to space. The question is, what are we going to do up there? And should we be sending more people? And then how those people that we're sending are going to be able to use this ability to the benefit of everybody here on Earth.
Okay. Well, Jabni, thank you so much for spending the time to share your insights into space travel with us this evening.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Thank you. We've been speaking with Jabnit Singh, Deputy CEO at Spire Research and Consulting here on Money FM, about the outlook for space travel in the year and decade ahead.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.